lights come and me won't go home. The lights come and me won't go home. Cares Act is the Cares Act. The lights come and things keep going on. Things, they just keep going on, going on, going on, going on, going on, going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. The CDC just declared, not just, but they declared that COVID can't survive as well on surfaces as they once thought. Things just keep going on. Trump continues giving bad advice and doing everything he can to downplay how bad things are in America and his role to make them that way. Things just keep going on and on. Vaccines are well into human trials. On. The Cold War between China and the U.S. continues to heat up or get colder. However that works. On. Hong Kong is retaking a bit of time in the global news cycle. And on. And Lessons from the Screen continues its trek through H.R. 748, a.k.a. $2 trillion goddamn dollars. The hell am I doing that? On. This is Lessons from the Screen.
John Boy.
Welcome to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You are always welcome. Lessons from the Screen is still sponsored by PAX Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. If you ain't been to the website yet, I don't know what to tell you. This is, I'm like well into 110 plus episodes on this show, and we done had the same sponsors since show one. So go check them out. The Learning Center, all of that. And for all of you guys busy making Jeff Bezos one of the richest people in the history of humankind, make sure that you're doing your shopping through Amazon Smile with PAX Selected as the nonprofit that you're donating to. No extra cost to you. All the wonderful, wonderful support that they can get. Do that. You heard? Let's go ahead and jump right on into it. This is Lessons from the Scrizzy. So, like I said, we're going to jump right into it because this could potentially be a long one. So, towards the end, if time starts getting short, I might speed it up a little bit and really just start moving through the provisions. We have 19 provisions to get through today because the educational section was all clumped together with no breaks or nothing. And I try to keep the shows in line with the breaks of the actual document in case you guys are following along or have a section you want to you're interested in. You know, you can just see exactly which section you need to go to from the title of the show and follow along from there. So with that being said, if I do get to the point where I have to go into hyperspeed mode, you know, you can either hit me up and say, hey, man, you need to slow that shit down. Do it like you was doing it. In which case, if enough of you do that, I'll do another show where we slow it down. Or, you know, you can follow along on your own and read the document for yourself. In either case, in either way, as always, tell me what you think. Whether you think I'm on board or not. Whether you think something is interesting. Whether you think I missed something. Let me know what you think. So we're going to jump right into it. I said that. I know I said that a minute ago and I'm saying it again now. But now we're really going to jump right into it. So today we are talking about Subtitle B, Educational Provisions. So this section starts out with Section 3501. And Section 3501 is basically letting us know that this is the COVID-19 Pandemic Education Relief Act of 2020. I put those spaces in there because somebody that was listening to the show said I shouldn't have spaces in the show because it's bad for listeners. And I was like, well, I understand why they say dead air is the enemy of radio. It's not like I don't get it, but you're saying it's bad for listeners. You're making it sound like people are gonna die. And so they was like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not good for listeners. And so I was like, I don't know. I think a little bit of space every once in a while gives people time to think. As long as it's not so long that they're wondering, like, did I lose connection? Did the show go off? Like, what happened? So anyways, I put those spaces in there just because no real good reason for doing it. And that probably wasn't even the greatest story to tell. But I told it. I don't know. You will be happy to know that it is 4:15 in the morning again. So, you know, background's quiet again at least. But I am still a tad bit delirious. So, that's become the natural state of the show. Anyways, as I was saying, Section 3501 basically lays out that the short title for this whole thing is the COVID-19 Pandemic Education Relief Act of 2020. Now, 3502 defines some terms that are commonly spoken about in this section. Coronavirus is defined as SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID-19, or another coronavirus with pandemic potential. So when they're talking about coronavirus here, they aren't just talking about COVID. They're talking about any coronavirus that could potentially become a pandemic. Foreign institution is defined as an institution of higher education located outside of the U.S. that's been approved by the U.S. Secretary of Education. Institution of higher education is defined in the same way that it is in the Higher Education Act of 1965. And there are a lot of reference to the Higher Education Act of 1965. A lot of these things are updates on the Higher Education Act of 1965, and that thing has been getting updated periodically throughout the years. There was an update in 2008. I believe there was one in 1998. So there's that. But in any case, this says that the school only admits people with a high school diploma or its equivalent or meet certain requirements, is legally authorized to provide a program of education beyond secondary education being high school education, provides an educational program for bachelor's degrees, or provides at least 2-year programs that are acceptable for full credit towards a bachelor's degree, subject to review and approved by the Secretary of Education. After being reviewed and approved by the Secretary of Education, is a public or other nonprofit institution, is accredited or has been granted pre-accreditation status by an agency or association recognized by the Secretary of Education. So that's what they mean when they say institution of higher learning in this thing. They're talking about an institution that has all of that. So qualifying emergency is defined as a public health emergency related to coronavirus declared by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, HHS, an event related to the coronavirus for which the president declared a major disaster or an emergency under Section 401 or 501, respectively, of Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, and a national emergency related to the coronavirus declared by the president under Section 201 of the National Emergencies Act. Now, you know, usually when I do my thug thizzle, I will go into all of those acts and give you all of the thug thizzy about the thug thizzle that we was talking about. But tonight, like I said, because we got a lot to get through, I ain't gonna do that. And if we being totally honest, I haven't really been doing that throughout a lot of the shows that I've been doing regarding the corona. So I'm checking myself. You ain't got to check me. I'm checking myself. I need to do better. I need to do better for me and for you guys and for the world. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm trying to be somebody that finishes this damn show so that I can go lay down. That's what I'm trying to be. So anyways, institution of higher learning, when they say, I'm on qualify. I told you, look, it's 4 in the morning and I'm a little loopy right now. I ain't got no other excuses for it, but apparently my ranting and raving has woken up people because it's not quiet like it used to be. So if y'all hear that, tough shit, sorry. So secretary refers to the Secretary of Education. That's easy. It's real easy. And then we get right on into right on into the juice. You know what I'm saying? Not the OJ. Definitely not the OJ Simpson. But the juice, nonetheless. So from here, we're talking about Section 3503, campus-based aid waivers. Now, this starts by giving a waiver of the non-federal share requirement. And there was a requirement put in place by the Higher Education Act of 1965 that required that participating institutions match the federal funds provided to the institution for students in financial need. So for every dollar the school received an assistance, for every dollar the school received assistance funds for students that had shown a financial need, the institution had to raise a dollar, provide a dollar of their own. That's what they call matching. And this waiver applies through 2021, through the 2021 school year, and essentially they don't have to match no more. Now, this section also gives schools the authority to transfer 100% of their unexpended allotment during a qualified emergency. Now, funds can be transferred to the Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grant Program, the FSEOGP. OGP. Get it? No. All right. I don't know. Anyways, which is an undergraduate program for students with exceptional financial need. Broke people like your boy. You heard him? I'm not going to put that out there in the atmosphere because I was talking to somebody recently and I was like, you know what? I feel like I've been getting a lot done and I'm well on the path to becoming a millionaire. And they was like, you know what? Me too. And that was the end of that conversation. So, Section 3504 basically says the use, and it's on the use of supplemental education opportunity grants for emergency aid. And this allows institutions of higher learning to use federal supplemental educational opportunity grant funds, what I mentioned earlier, to help students with unexpected expenses and unmet financial needs that result from a qualifying emergency. So in order for an institution to be able to offer this, they have to waive the amount of need calculation under Section 471 of the Higher Education Act of 1975. And Section 471 of the Higher Education Act defines financial need as the difference between education-related expenses, the cost of attendance, and the sum of the expected family contribution and estimated financial assistance. Now, they also have to allow for a student affected by a qualifying emergency to receive funds in an amount that is not more than the maximum federal Pell Grant for the applicable award year. And they have to utilize a contract with a scholarship granting organization designated for the sole purpose of accepting applications from or disbursing funds to students enrolled in institutions of higher learning, of higher education, I'm sorry. There is also a special rule that says that emergency financial aid grants to students under this section won't be treated as other financial assistance for the purpose of Section 471 of the Higher Education Act of 1965. And that basically means if they get money here, then it won't be counted as income when they try to get money somewhere else. So they're not necessarily being penalized or held back for trying to get other money for having a financial need if they get this money. So moving on, Section 3505, federal work study during a qualified emergency. And this section says an institution that has community improvement work study programs may continue to make payments to work study students for at most one academic year if those students are unable to fulfill work study obligations for all or part of the academic year due to a qualifying condition. So if you can't do your work study no more because COVID has, you know, social distancing, school shutdown, whatever the case might be, you can still get that check. Know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying? Or, you know, whatever they give you. You still get it. You get it. There you go. So, payments can be made as a one-time grant or in multiple payments and will be in the amount that the student would have been paid had they been permitted to work. But only students that would have been eligible and working had the emergency not happened would get this bread. Know what I'm saying? Now, matching requirements have to be met unless otherwise waived by the Secretary of Education. We move on. Section 3506, adjustment of subsidized loan usage limits. You feel me? So, and for those of you that don't know, after I said you feel me, I adjusted my glasses because that is the appropriate thing to do after you say something cool. If you're not doing that, you just learn something. So remember, after you say or do anything cool, you need to adjust your glasses. And if you don't wear glasses, then you need to get glasses so that you can do such a thing. And the way I personally like to adjust my glasses, since there's no video to go with this, is I like to take my index finger and my thumb, right? And I like to put them, and this is on my right hand, right? So I like to put it right on the right lens, just on the edge of my the right lens, and kind of on that metal piece. And I like to clamp down like a vice being clamped into place. And then I just wiggle them a little bit, slide them up, and then slide them back down. And oftentimes it results in my glasses being out of position. So what I have to do there is I have to take the bird finger, you know, the FU finger, and I have to push them back into position because I've just adjusted them out of position. But that is the cool thing to do when you do something cool and you wear glasses. And again, if you don't wear glasses, you can't be cool because you can't do that. So I highly recommend you go and get glasses. But that being said, so we're moving on to section 3506, adjustments of subsidized loan usage limits. And this does just what it sounds like. It excludes semesters from a student's enrollment that can't be completed because of a declared emergency. Now, the secretary has clearance to execute this policy in a way that limits the complexity and the burden on the student. But given our Secretary of Education, anyways, that's not for this show. This clears a student from having to pay on loans taken out before the emergency was declared, or for being punished for the extra time added to their education because of a declared emergency. In Section 3507, of exclusions from a federal Pell Grant duration limit, and this basically does the same thing as the last section, except it clears a student from negative consequences as a result of added time to education with regards to any Pell Grants they might have. And for those of you who know, you can only get Pell Grants for a certain amount of time. It covers a certain amount of time with regards to education. Beyond that, you're no longer eligible. So this says that, you know, any emergencies caused by COVID or any sort of pandemic or national emergency won't be counted against that limit. So moving on to Section 3508. And this covers institutional refunds and federal student loan flexibility. And this section starts by issuing a general waiver for students with financial need from having to pay back funds if they had to withdraw from school because of an issue related to an emergency declaration. Now, each institution using a waiver has to report the number of recipients, the amount of the assistance associated with each recipient, excluding funds specifically for low income or students with financial or cultural need, and for which each institution has not returned assistance under Title IV to the Secretary. And Title IV is that financial need piece that I keep mentioning. So the Secretary will waive the amount that students are required to return with respect to Pell Grants or other grant assistance if the withdrawals are by students who withdrew from the institution because of a qualified emergency. And loan portions may also be canceled if a student withdraws during a qualified emergency. And a leave of absence may also be authorized that don't require the student to return at the same point in the program that they left off. So, 3509, satisfactory academic progress. And this section simply allows the institution to exclude attempted credits that weren't completed because of the emergency from any academic progress calculations without an appeal by the student with regards to maintaining eligibility for Title IV. And again, I told you guys what Title IV was, I think. You know what y'all can do for me? I need somebody to give me a unique time to record the show. That's what I need. Hit me up in the comments. So anyways, the comments to the website, because I went to, let me say this. I went to, somebody sent me this podcast directory or whatever that they were listening to all of the Freedom Train shows through. Very grateful. Continue, whatever podcast directory works for you, you know, that's good. But it was interesting because one of the shows had a bunch of comments under the show, and the show was like 6 months old. I've been doing this show for a couple years now, and I didn't reply to any of those comments because I didn't know they were there, and it seemed like one person in particular was pretty upset that I was not replying. And so here's what I say to you guys. If you want anybody on the Freedom Train Network to respond to your comments, you should probably put them on the Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of podcast directories out there. And no, I'm not going to check them all. I don't even think it's possible for me to check them all. Look, I'm recording this show at 4:30 in the morning. Like, I got shit to do. Like, I don't have time to check hundreds of podcast directories. So, that being said, do me a favor. Do you a favor. Go to the website if you have a comment to drop. You know, even if your comment is, hey, I got a bunch of comments on this other directory, I might go check them out then. But, you know, if you're not leaving comments there, then don't be mad when we don't respond. Because honestly, bro, like we didn't know they were there. So anyways, where was I? Oh, yeah, 3510. So 3510 says continuing education at affected foreign institutions. Now, this section allows foreign institutions to offer distance learning if their home country is in a declared emergency. And colleges using this section must report the use to the Secretary of Education within 30 days of use for years after 2019-2020 school year, and by June 30, 2020 for 2019-2020 school year. Now, within 180 days of this law passing and every 180 days after that for the duration of the emergency, the Secretary has to submit to Congress a report that identifies each foreign institution that carried out a distance education program authorized under this section. And this section also allows the Secretary to allow written arrangements during a declared emergency that would let foreign institutions that participate in the federal direct loan program under Part D of Title IV of the Higher Education Act of 1965. And this is the section that allows foreign institutions to receive funds from the U.S. government through an agent that operates in the U.S. But this section allows those people to allow student borrowers to take courses from an institution in the U.S. Then we move on to section 3511. And this section declares national educational waivers. And this section is on national emergency educational waivers. And this section gives the Secretary of Education the authority to waive any statutory or regulatory provision at the request of states or Indian tribes. And it requires that the Secretary create, well, not any, but a bunch of them. But there are certain ones, but they're pretty broad, wide ranging. But it requires that the Secretary create a process of streamlining the waivers. The waivers cannot be given to civil rights protections, and programs must give a reason as to why the waiver is required and how the declared emergency has negatively impacted the program. Assurances must also be made that the program, that work will be done to mitigate any negative effects caused by the waiver. Approval has to be given within 30 days of the request submission, and the waiver cannot exceed the 2019-2020 school year except to carry out maintenance efforts granted during the 2019-2020 academic year. And waivers have to be reported publicly and within 7 days of granting the waiver. The secretary has to notify Congress of the waiver. And within 30 days of granting the waiver, the secretary has to publish a notice of the decision and why the waiver was granted in the Federal Registry and on the Department of Education's website. And within 30 days of the passage of this act, the secretary also has to submit a report to Congress on recommendations for additional waivers the secretary believes are necessary to be enacted into law to provide flexibility in meeting the needs of students during a declared emergency. Now, this section is particularly interesting to me. I haven't ran it on a section in a while. And let's say, so most of these statutory or regulatory waivers cover assessments, accountability, and reporting requirements under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. And it also covers some issues regarding the use of funding and the requirements with funding, spending restrictions, things of that nature, training teachers and things of that nature. So, and all of this is at the discretion of the Secretary of Education, which, again, given our current Secretary of Education, we doggy. But I will say this. I do like the fact that in law and policy, these waivers have to be put up in a public space where people can see them, see what's requested by whom, see if it was given, and see why it was given. I like that part. I love that part. But let's face the facts. There's no guarantee that it's going to be put up. People typically don't check the federal registries for policies that are happening, organizational changes, things of that nature that they have an active and open comment period for. And this is one of those things where you're inviting trouble, in my opinion. If people need flexibility in order to maintain their institutions of their educational institutions during this situation, I think there's a better way of doing it than giving the Secretary of Education blanket waiver restriction, waiver power, authorization. Now, I understand that, and I fully acknowledge that that might be, I might only be saying that because of some inherent bias I have against the current Secretary of Education. That is totally possible. But it doesn't change what is. It's a bad idea. And that's not to say that we could even have another Secretary of Education that might be a bit more competent, that doesn't find other ways to misuse this thing or abuse this thing. Anything that gives politicians, elected and appointed officials, the ability to empower their friends, their family, their co-workers, people they know to such a degree, I'm against. I'm totally against it. Nothing should be at the sole discretion of any one person when you start talking about things of this magnitude. Like, you should not have one person being able to make the decision regarding national institutions that involve major other institutions like education. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good way to go. I don't think it's a good way to be. And I think it's a whole lot of problems waiting to happen. Just my opinion. And so what I have done here is I have had a change of heart. Instead of speeding through this, I'm just going to go over this last section, 3512. And then next week, we're going to pick it up and go 3513 through 3519. And depending on how long the next section is, we might jump some of that in there too. But so I say all that to say we're going to, you know, this is going to be the last one. I'm going to wrap it up because this show is, yeah, 30 minutes is a good length for the show. And I don't want to cram through the rest of these things pretty quickly just for the sake of, you know, trying to keep the show short when, you know, really I don't have to keep the show short at all. But I don't want to just start moving through stuff and potentially miss something. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll do it that way. So anyways, moving on. So section 3512, and I just realized too, I haven't put any breaks in this thing. Any of the there you go. I just put it in there. So 3512 is on HBCU capital financing. And this basically says the education department may take over payments for loans given to HBCUs during the declared emergency, and money that the education department uses to pay both the interest and the principal of a loan will be reimbursed by the HBCU. The HBCU will have to start paying the government after one full fiscal year of the end of a declared emergency. And within 180 days of this law passing and every 180 days after, during a qualified emergency, the secretary will submit to Congress a report that identifies institutions that receive this assistance. $62 million is authorized for this assistance. I'll just be blunt right here. Like, I don't like this. I think this is shit. I really think this is shit. And the reason why I think it's shit is not that HBCUs couldn't use the reprieve, especially, you know, when funds are down, tuition is down across the board for everybody right now because nobody's in school because of social distancing and the pandemic. But this is shit. All over the place, all throughout this thing, people are being given waivers. People are being given the opportunity to have things taken care of without having to pay it back. And here, when it comes to HBCUs who are already chronically underfunded, already very poorly funded, here you have a situation where they're having to pay everything back. All of the money that the state puts out, both principal and interest. Because you recall, for some of the small business stuff, you only had to pay on the interest of just whatever it was. You know, and for certain other things that have happened historically in the past, there was only a requirement for the principal. Here they have to pay both principal and interest to the state. And if they don't pay or if they get in arrears or anything like that, I'm almost positive there's going to be negative consequences for it. I'm almost positive. With a report being issued to Congress, when a institution is in arrears, Or when an institution even takes out a loan, enrolls in this program, never mind being in arrears, they're already notified about, you know, there's already a notification going to Congress there. I can almost guarantee that if HBCUs take this and they come in arrears, there's going to be some negative fallout from it. Unless something is passed later that offers a waiver, which I do not see anything regarding a waiver in this section right now. So unless something like that happens, basically they're getting a deferment on their payments. And a deferment is mentioned in the actual policy, in the actual section frequently. It's mentioned as a deferment quite often. But in a situation where everyone else is basically getting things taken care of them for free, I don't see this as fair. And this stood out to me. And this is not even something I was looking for, because the government likes to try to pretend like they like black people by pretending like they support HBCUs. So I was actually like expecting the HBCU section to be fairly straight, filled with fluff, with nothing obviously egregious and nothing too beneficial either. Just like something very neutral in there so that the politicians can say we stuck this in here. But this stood out to me. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. And I don't understand what they were thinking when they did this. It just doesn't make sense to me. why they would say, oh yeah, we'll cover any of your loans and any of the other situation, any, we'll cover your loans for the duration of the declared emergency, but you're gonna have to pay us back in full. I don't know. I know why they did it. Let me say that. But I don't know why they did it this way. Like, that's something I would definitely want to talk to somebody about, a politician or somebody that was crafting this thing, and really just get in their head and ask them, like, so who made the decision that out of all of the free money that you guys are giving out, HBCUs would have this program where they would be required to pay back the full amount to the U.S. government? Who made that decision? I don't know who made that decision. It sounds like some old Secretary of Education type shit. But anyways, so like I said earlier, we're going to stop right here. The show is going into 35 minutes. It'll be about close to 40 minutes when everything's said and done. So we'll pick up 33:13 through 33:19 next week, unless I drop a special show to cover those. You know, I always leave that option open to drop a show at any point in time during the week. At one point, we were doing two shows a week. And if I ever get myself together, we will probably get back to that. But that being said, I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think about this section that we've gone over so far. Let me know what you think about how I'm covering this thing as a whole. Am I doing too much? Am I not doing enough? Are you enjoying it? Do you want me to get to other content? Maybe, you know, bounce back and forth. Like, what are you guys thinking? And what do you think about the stimulus so far? Do you think it's working? It's not working? Not enough? Like, it's working, but it's working for all the wrong people? Just give me your thoughts. And I will see you next week on the next episode, or I will see you next time on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. Bia, bia. This is Lessons from the screen.
John Boy.
So thank you guys for listening to the show, to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you always enjoy it. Remember, you can check out all of the shows. All of them are going to be only found on the Freedom Train Network. That's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And that goes, again, for all of the shows on the network. You can only find all of the shows available for all of the shows on the network on Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So go there and check them out. You only get the latest 25 shows, I believe, on the podcast directories. So check us out. Show support for all of the shows we have. Shelby's World, Enigma, Self Hour, The Fix, Sports Podcast, Freedom Train Podcast Series, and all of the other shows that are around. Definitely go and show them love. As for this show in particular, you can check us out. Support us on Patreon.com. That's patreon.com/LFTS. That's patreon.com/LFTS. And there you can drop us, you can show support by sponsoring the show, giving us money every month, giving us money per episode, and just letting us know that you support us. And by doing such things, you allow us to be able to spend more time creating and composing the shows. Shows like this series and shows like a lot of the series that we do take a lot of time to put together. We're talking about hours upon hours upon hours of research, and it'd be nice to be able to take the time to do those shows and do them correctly the way we really want to do them, and also to be able to do them more frequently, because a lot of these shows should probably be done a lot more frequently. So love you, see you next week, hope you have fun.